Does anyone remember what I preached last year, this time on a Sunday night on November 30th? Good. I wish you'd have told me that sooner. Last year, Psalm 116, verse 17, and we talked about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, this idea of sacrifice was brought back into my attention here a little while ago, and I was thinking about that and was in preparing this message and had time to be gone for the last week and was up in Fort Benning last Sunday and traveled up to West Virginia and got to visit family. And I've been thinking about sacrifice and the idea of sacrifice in our society today, and particularly, you know, in our Christian walk. We think about this idea of sacrifice. It reminds me back in Job chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." You think about how that Job was a man of God. Chapter 1 said he was, you know, a man that eschewed evil. He was a man that walked with God daily. How he sacrificed not only for himself, but for his children. We think of the whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament, how it pointed to the coming Savior. It pointed to us that we are sinners, that we need a blood sacrifice for our sins. But the Bible was clear that the sacrifice of bulls and goats was simply just a covering. There's no remission in the temporary sacrifice. But Job was a man that walked with God and was a man that wanted his sons to live for God. And in case maybe they sinned, he did sacrifices for them. And I started thinking about that. Thinking about, you know, what can we do to sacrifice on a daily basis today for ourselves and for our family? And you start looking at the passages of Scripture, and I challenge you to do a search on that and just look up the word sacrifice and read all the references and all that is attached to those references. And you'll bring yourself to the place where God doesn't want us to live a ritualistic life that is full of ritual sacrifices, but yet He wants us to sacrifice of ourselves as He sacrificed of Himself for us. If you're in Hebrews chapter 10, look there, and we'll start in verse 1. Hebrews 10, 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For when would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Go down to verse 10. It says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And verse 18, Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You know, if you could see this up here, you could see Jesus in the background on the cross. And you could see Abraham preparing to sacrifice his own son. The image of the Lamb goes throughout all of Scripture. The idea of that ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us on the cross so that we might have eternal life. The greatest message in the world is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in sinless perfection and lived and died in our place. God Himself will prepare a sacrifice. And Jesus Christ became that sacrificial lamb that was shed from the foundation of the world for all sins of all mankind. The sacrifice that we speak of even tonight isn't just the sacrifice that we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of what Christ has done for us and the sacrifice that He did for us, how can we not live for Him? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A reasonable man, when confronted with the truth of Scripture, will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. A reasonable Christian, realizing what Christ has done and the sacrifice was completed for him, will give his service to the Lord Jesus Christ in a living sacrifice. Let's look at four ways in which you can be a living sacrifice tonight. I'm going to read several verses here and just look at how that we can sacrifice in our daily lives. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And if you think about this, this is the book of Proverbs. You know, this carries weight coming from the king who built the temple, who performed innumerable sacrifices. Justice here is talking about righteousness. So this is that righteous justice, or justice and judgment, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know, this shows the relative importance of morality, of righteous living, above the ritual of sacrifice. In our society, we get enamored with all the different types of religions that are out there, or at least the world does. And we see all of the different ways to worship. Most of them are very liturgical or ritualistic. And just the little things that a person does, in the way that they perform these things on a daily basis to earn their way to heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with the ritual. There's nothing wrong with the idea of doing something as a habit if it is a solemn thing that you are performing, such as coming to church, singing a hymn, taking communion, that we do in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we come to church to gather together, as we see even more the day approaching, that we worship together in spirit and truth with believers, that we get our encouragement from one another, that we help lift each other up in a midweek service and open the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be poured into our heart and lives so that we can learn, that we can be encouraged, that we can draw strength even to make it throughout that day. But the idea of rituals or liturgy that is going to bring us closer to God or gain our acceptance into heaven is not found in the Word of God. You think about the Pharisees and in the New Testament, how that Jesus even scathed them. He was hardest on those that were supposedly the religious elite. You talk about rituals. You talk about understanding the idea of physical animal sacrifice. These men did. But yet, Jesus was harder on them than any sinner in all of his messages. Because the idea of just ritualistic sacrifice is not what God's talking about. It's not what even the sacrifice is pointing towards in the Old Testament. We are to be a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. As believers, we have the privilege and the joy to tell others about Christ, to be able to share our testimony of salvation with those that we work with, those that live near us, those that are our family, that we can be able at the holiday times even, as we finished up Thanksgiving, to go and spend time with family and to tell them how God is good, sometimes to people that don't even understand who God is and that God is good, but them to see your life and to know that these blessings that they speak of, they are attributing to a God that I don't know. And having the opportunity then to open the Word of God maybe and share with a friend or a coworker or a family member how that they can be saved. Our righteous living needs to be our own sacrifice, that living sacrifice to do justice and judgment. Secondly, Psalm 141:2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Do you ever stop to think about how that your prayer is a sweet savor to God daily? And how that our praying is a way of sacrificing, like Job, literally building a fire and sacrificing animals. We can sacrifice for ourselves, for our family, not for our family to go to heaven. But we are sacrificing as Christians to do justice and judgment. And then to pray, to simply spend time talking with God, enjoying His fellowship as we read the Word of God in the mornings. And allow God to speak to our heart through the Word and through His Spirit. And we commune with Him, and that sweet prayer and communion that we have is incense before Him. And just like Job presenting that evening sacrifice, our time in prayer with God is a way that we sacrifice each day. So many things out there in the world today when it comes to religion. We look at the cults that are all around us that are forming and seem like multiplying. We look at the false religion that is we're in a battle against that's taking over the world. And we need to be missionaries, preaching the Word of God everywhere we go. Not just behind a pulpit, but in our testimony, through our actions, through our voice, as we tell others about Christ, as we live the gospel, that living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service for what He has done for us and has given us. Third, Psalm 54:6 says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." It's easy to be negative. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to maybe be sarcastic about things. Things aren't going right. But you think about how much we have. And at this Thanksgiving time, there's no better time to stop and think about that and apply that to your daily life throughout the year, of the goodness of God in your life. How that you have 2 arms and 2 legs and, 10 fingers and toes. And how that you have eyesight to be able to read the Word of God and ears to hear the Word of God preached. And a tongue to speak of the great blessings of God. How that we have some friends and family. How that we have a church that preaches the Word of God. And a pastor that leads us in a direction that is not compromising, like we see so many places and so many churches around us. And in turn, that should give us that thankful spirit to bring all praise and glory back to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is a way then that we sacrifice back to Him in our praise and our glorifying Him in everything that we do. In every situation, God is good all the time. Fourthly, Psalm 51, 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, lest I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. And it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. How long has it been since you have been broken? How long has it been since there has been contrition in your life over your sin, over your apathy, over your lack of witnessing, your poor prayer life? That's tough on a Sunday night. It's basically like preaching to the choir. Most of you were up here and now you're over here. But there are things in our lives still. We have not reached spiritual perfection and won't in this life. I sin every day. And it is something that we need to be broken about. We need to be broken about a dying and lost world around us. My father-in-law, for the last at least 2 years, every time I've heard him pray, every meal, every family prayer, he always prays that our country would turn its heart back to God. We need to be contrite about that. To have a broken heart of what's going on around us. Politicians are not going to save us. But we have a responsibility to do our part in the political process. To get out and vote for the best candidate for the job. But what's going to save us is enough people that are contrite to fall on their knees and to pray. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek God's face. Are we willing to do that? That's an individual thing, but it could be a church thing. That we pray together. That we meet. And we beg God for revival in our country. Revival that needs to start in the church. Yes. Needs to start in the hearts and lives of God's people, that they would bend their knee and pray. God is so good to us, and God has been so good to us as a nation. Not only do we need to be thankful for that, but we need to do our part. And if we witness to people, if we give out tracts, if we invite others to church, if we live the gospel, be a living sacrifice unto God, it'll make a difference in our world, in Ocala, in Florida, in our nation, and in our country. Why aren't there missionaries replenishing the field? Because there's not enough people in the pew praying. There's not enough people witnessing. We wouldn't have to worry about which politician to vote for if we saw revival in this country and we saw people saved. There'd be more Christians running, there'd be unsaved people running. That seems far-fetched. But we serve a big God. And God wants us all to have that vision and that dream of revival, particularly in our own lives individually. What can God do in my life for me? That I can be that living sacrifice, holy, just in judgment, living in a way that pleases God, living in a way that points others to Christ, living in a way that no matter what we do, where we go, in our entertainment, that's wholesome, that we are still living as an example to others. That we are walking in a way that is pleasing God. Many of the passages we can look at, but we're not going to tonight, of how that we can have that sacrificial system, not in a ritualistic way, but in an applicable way in our daily lives, to be that living sacrifice, offering those evening sacrifices for ourselves and for our family, praying for our nation, and being a witness in a dying and lost world. So many good things that is going on in our church, in the lives of people that we see, and people being saved and baptized. And it's exciting times. It's scary times. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. Be an encouragement. Don't be the people that stab each other in the back, but we hold each other up and pray for one another. Pray for our country. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice, most of all. God, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that sent his Son to live a perfect, sinless life, tempted in all points, but yet without sin. Took our place, paid the ultimate sacrifice, as a substitutionary atonement, when we should have been the one executed on death row, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have through the blood of Christ. Thank you, God, for all that you do in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to bend our knee, humble our heart, pray unceasing for revival in our own hearts and lives and our nation. Thank you, God, for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.